Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome, Orange Men and Ladies, to another episode of Ty Thoughts with Tyler Morona. We are going to hear Tyler and his thoughts here shortly. But first, as always, we got to hear from the title sponsor for Ty Thoughts, for the Cuse Militia, and for Armchair Media, and that is betonline.ag. Look, football's going good. It's going swimmingly. I mean, maybe not if you're a Syracuse fan, but it's being played, and that's a good thing. You might not be able to get to a game this year, but you could still get in on all the action. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on everything imaginable this season, from game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props. BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any other place online. Head to BetOnline today. Use the promo code ARMCHAIR to take advantage of all of the great sign-up bonuses. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Thank you, BetOnline. Now, here's Tyler.
All right, what's up? It's another edition of Ty Thoughts, trying to get another episode out there before another week goes by. Got some great reviews on my last show. Didn't really feel that it was anything crazy, but definitely was nice to hear some feedback. I try to keep it real honest with you guys, as I try to do, but I think what I got to do more of now is just kind of storytell, explain kind of my thoughts, and really just start really trying to own my stuff. It's interesting because I think that a lot of the times, because I didn't play in a game, although I did, I was there, I did the whole thing, I went through the whole deal, but I went there and I redshirted, but I never got to play in a game. So it's still, I always battle with the fact that I didn't really do what I set out to do, and the job's not finished. And you hear that a lot with guys that are, we're in a 7-game series, we have 3 wins, what's there to be happy? But the famous Kobe meme or whatever, the clip where he's like, job's not done, still got more to do, championship's not won yet, it can't be happy yet. And I kind of live my life as if the job's not done yet. And because in reality, it's not. I'm 26. I got a long way to go. Hopefully I got 60 more years left on this planet. So job's not done, but, I think it's, just time to start bringing up the stories, the tales, the things that make Syracuse, and just my honest opinion. It's hard for me to share that, because for a long time I was thinking about, this is going to be a career for me. And I got to be neutral. I got to be diplomatic. I can't do this. That's over with. This is definitely not my career for now. Maybe it is in 20 years when I'm done coaching or working with student athletes and trying to develop their lives more. And the reason why I'm trying to get into coaching and develop and student development and athlete development and personal development, social, emotional development, is because I was so lost when I was at Syracuse and they medically disqualified me. My outlook on life, my depression, my anxiety, my just overall humanness was at the worst levels that you could ever imagine. And it's because my identity was wrapped in something that was contingent on something else. It was a perishable good. They don't want you to bring perishable foods to the canned food drive, because we don't know how long that food is going to be needed to be stored for. And we all know, don't bring perishable foods to a food drive. But that's what I was doing. And they're like, hey, look, this is going to go bad soon. And yet still, I didn't listen. And they're like, well, we can't help you anymore with this, you know, perishable thing that had a demise in it. And no matter what, my football career always had a demise. I was just hoping that it was going to be after, you know, maybe in 5-6 more years from now, you know, play into my 30s. You know, sounds great, be a millionaire, yada, yada, yada. But didn't happen. So that was a little therapeutic, cathartic, whatever you want to say. I think that, you know, just being opinionated and reading the piece this week from Syracuse.com with our former what's the title? The director of player personnel. That's it. I don't know why I couldn't think of that for a second. It's funny, like, I know all this stuff like the back of my hand. I know football like the back of my hand, but I get on the airwaves and then all of a sudden, like, my just overall thinking ability goes to zero a lot of times. Like, I gotta stop doing that. I don't know how you overcome that, though. It's because I'm rusty. That's really what it is. I'm just rusty at this podcasting game. I mean, I used to be able to do this like there was no tomorrow, but I also only used to work part-time. Oh, man. I only used to work like part-time, and I moved in with my girlfriend because I was like, I'm telling you guys, like I was just lost for like 2 to 3 years. Like, and I want to say this here. None of this was Syracuse's fault. All this was our SEU's fault, or the football department. None of this was their fault. This was just like wrong place at the wrong time. And it really was true. Like, and I, like, you hear about all these stories all the time. And you're like, oh, well, there's no way I'm going to be a casualty of the game. And sure enough, I was. And it's like, I just took that so hard. That was the problem. It was like nothing. It's like yelling at this bottle of sunscreen I'm looking at right here. It's like, you didn't do anything to me. It's like, I just, I'm having a bad day and you're in my way. That was kind of the deal that was going on. So, I used to work part-time, literally probably pulling like $2,000 a month. Not even that. Definitely not that. Maybe like $1,500 a month. And maybe not even that. Maybe like $1,200 a month. I would have to like go into the nitty gritty and see. And like living in Southern California, and that's initially why we moved out to Texas, because my girlfriend, now wife, and this is why she's my wife, is because she was like, hey, look, you know, you are better than this. Like, you need to figure it out. And she was like, okay, like, you know, you can try podcasting and working part-time, like, if this works. And then, like, it obviously didn't turn into a career. Although when I got out to Houston, it became, I don't think I've ever shared this, but I was like inches away from getting a job at the Houston sports talk radio station, like inches. I was like at the finish line. And, and then when that didn't go through, I was just like, fuck it. Oh, damn it. Sorry, Sean, family show. Like we're going to, like, I'm like, that's over. Like, if I can't even get into, and I forgot that Houston was like the third biggest market in the country, I'm getting discouraged. Like, damn it. Like, you know, I'm not getting this. I knew I should have like just stayed at Syracuse and majored in journalism and gone to Newhouse. Like I always wanted to do. Like, I don't know if anybody knew this, but like when I was in high school, I started podcasting. I started video blogging like in 2007. Like I had all this stuff, like I had all these ideas a long time ago, like a long time, like even before, like I found out about podcasting maybe in like 06. Like there was guys doing it into like a payphone and paying a company to record it on the other line. Like it was through a speaker, on a speakerphone, like a guy, like, you know, you would go to like this office and you'd like talk into a phone. And then somebody else would record it through a speakerphone. Like, it was awful quality. And then, like, you know, you get, like, the webcam mic. And then, you know, I was like, I had, like, all these. And I wanted to be a journalist, like, really badly. And I picked Syracuse and, like, Northwestern and Vanderbilt and a couple other schools, like, off the top of my list, USC. You know, these big-time communication schools with connections. Because I thought that's what I was going to be able to do. That's what I wanted to do. And I was writing for my school newspaper, like all this other stuff that goes into it. And it makes sense now why, like, I'm going to be an English teacher moving forward and like help out with the journalism program wherever we go in the mass media department. And like, and you know, so maybe there's some good coming out of that and all that goes. But like, I thought that I was going to be able to go to Syracuse and then like, okay, like I'm going to get in here and then I'm going to transfer into Newhouse. And they said like, oh yeah, sorry, no player can actually, no athlete can go through Newhouse because they like kids that go to Newhouse School, they're on just as restrictive as a schedule as the athletes are. Like, there is no days off. Like, my buddy, Jesse Dougherty, that was a friend of the program, like the Trademark Podcast, like the first rendition of it, and he covered me while I was at Syracuse. He is now, like, he has, like, a book published because he lucked out and got the beat at the Washington Post right before the Washington Nationals won the World Series. Or a couple years before, but, like, you know, he had the long play going on. And it's just like these guys are so talented that go there. It's like, you would literally have to be a cosmic shooting star to be able to do Newhouse and football or basketball or lacrosse or whatever. It's like, it's just too demanding. You're up 24 hours a day. Not going to happen. So I didn't know that. And that was kind of a drawback for me once I was there. You know, it felt kind of like, hey, look, you know, I didn't want to be an econ major, and that's eventually what I got my degree in. Even at Providence, I still want that route, business econ. And it served me well, and I went into the personal finance game, as a lot of you guys know, and you know, it held no weight for me whatsoever. But like, and this is what I wanted to talk about, was like on my visit to CUES. I think out of all the places I went, like if I go back and I think, I said I went to Miami, I went to UCLA, I went to where else did I go? I didn't actually end up going to Colorado. Shoot. Where else have I gone? Oh, I went to Cal, USC. These are all like unofficial visits, like the California schools. I have now, Colorado State. I don't know. There's a litany, but I think that at the time I would put like Syracuse above or right on par with like a San Diego State. But as far as like facility, like as far as the school itself, like the school itself and the like the academics and the buildings and all that stuff, like the campus and the academics, that was an A plus to me. The football side of everything was probably at like a B, and that was because they had just come off winning the Big East and the Pinstripe Bowl and defeating a good WVU team that was going into the Big 12 that was on the up. And then they said, well, hey, look, we just won the Big East. This is Coach Schaefer and Coach Doust, by the way. You know, we're on the way up. We beat Geno Smith. We beat Teddy Bridgewater. Teddy Bridgewater playing tonight on Thursday Night Football. Geno Smith draft pick. You know, but what they also kind of failed to realize is that it's like, oh, yeah, sorry, when we did that, we had like two first-round picks on our team, Chandler Jones and Justin Pugh. And Chandler Jones is a little bit before that. But this run of ascension happened before I got there, and it was really like this long build up, as we now know it kind of takes at Syracuse, but I didn't know that, like the history of the football program. So I was like, yeah. And then they walked me through and was like, hey, look, there's a Heisman here, there's a national championship here, there's an Orange Bowl here. But I didn't kind of like put together was that like although there was a Big East championship, co-championship rather, and a couple bowl game wins in recent years, and look, we won the Texas Bowl when I was there too, you know, big deal, Houston. And a funny story about that, and to just, I'll bring it back around, don't worry, but the funny part about the Texas Bowl is that Mike Lasker and I reconvened for second semester, and we're like, hey, look, man, I'm so excited to get to talk to that guy tomorrow, by the way. Set up a mandate phone call for on the ride home from work. Michael Oscar and I were chatting. Can't wait. It's like the new best thing in my life. And also, I go on these power walks like twice a week around Southern California. If anybody's looking to have a call during that time, or like to chat during that time, I'm looking for a power walk phone call person just to talk to. So if that's you out there, if you want to power walk with me where you're at, that's totally fine. But I have a lot of conditions, just to let you know. So you may inquire, but you may not get it. we reconvened for second semester, and I don't think I've ever had a crazier night than the first night back from Christmas break. Because like the secret about Syracuse, and you only learn this after you've been there a semester or two, is that the thing that you want to do is you want to get there like a week early, or like whenever they allow you to come back to your apartment on South Campus. Like, let's say it's like, okay, the semester is starting on the 8th of January, but you can start moving in on the 4th. You want to move in like 6 a.m. on the 4th, because they, like, there's no rules for those, like, that week beforehand. Like, they just are like, okay, like, you have nothing else to do. So what do you think happens? Like, we just got so hammered every day. And I was like, this is the funniest. Like, we had, like, that week will live in infamy for Michael and I. Like, that was the most fun I think we've ever had and will ever have. Like, the stories that we have from that time is unbelievable. And those are like unshareable things. And like, nothing crazy happened per se, but it was just so much fun to like get to know my environment, my surroundings. And that week really, and it wasn't because of like the drunken stupors and the like connection I felt to the area. And I thought that I was like starting to get over everything, and I really wasn't, but I was trying to have a new outlook on life, and I was trying to start anew. And that's when I really fell in love with the area, because it was cold. It was something different. It was unlike anything I'd ever seen. And I had been developing this new friendship with my best man. And really, you know, it's like, okay, outside, it's off season. You just have a lot of fun in the off season. And Michael and I, we say, it's like, hey, you know, look, and he was telling me all about the bowl game and his experience there and all that stuff. I didn't travel because they said that if we wanted to go to the bowl game on the program's dime, we had to stay on campus for Christmas break the entire time, even though it was on December 31st, the bowl game, and then we get to fly home that night. And I was just like, look, there's no way I'm missing Christmas and New Year's in Pasadena, California, the granddaddy of them all, for the Rose Bowl. I ended up actually going to the Rose Bowl game that year, which is kind of funny. Michigan State versus Stanford. And it was all such a bizarre deal. So, and then Michael comes back. He's like, you know what, dude? I'll tell you what. You and me, I kind of envision us living in the same area for a long time. You know, even if we're, you know, not living together as roommates, we'll probably be neighbors, you know, kind of live like next door to each other around the corner. But never, we're never moving to Houston. Never, ever. Can't see it. Can't ever see it. Smash cut to the end of 2018. We're literally neighbors in Houston, Texas. Couldn't have made it up. But anyway, so the thing about Syracuse and the uphill battle that they do have is that, like, if there is a recruit like myself or Mike Lascar or whoever, it's like you have to get the guy that everything else is in his life. Kind of like in the Syracuse.com article talking about how, like, Cisco was a guy that was intrigued by high academics. I was a guy that was intrigued by high academics. Or it has to be a guy that's like, I'm intrigued by X that Syracuse has. And to me, what USC is doing, and this is what I've been on the record on the Q's Militia show, saying that, like, if Syracuse isn't doing the name, image, and likeness deal with a broadcast company in New York City, they are out of their minds. They have to be hitting the pavement hard. Like, who is going to represent our college athletes? Like, the coaching staff or whoever is in that position that Landon Salem vacated, I haven't even kept up with it, the player personnel guy or the pro, whatever the guy is, the director of operations, Brad Wittick, he's got to be pounding the pavement, making sales like every day. Like, look, we got guys coming through. We got new recruits coming through. You got to be the name, image, and likeness on these guys. Like, we have to look for guys that the football aspect of it. And when I saw that, like, oh, you know, we have these NFL guys, the Joneses came to come see me at my official visit. It was like, oh, wait, football is possible here. Like, if you're good, they'll see you. You'll play at the next level. Like, you have to get a bunch of guys that believe in themselves. And for whatever reason, I think that's kind of what we see with the Syracuse team, is a lot of the times, like, they don't believe in themselves because they don't think they can win. You know, but I don't know how you do it.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
It's got to be an investment in the personality, an investment in the person. But for right now, because the facilities are behind, I would say that the facilities are about a C comparatively to what other Power Fives are dealing with. Compared to USC and UCLA, what I grew up here with in my backyard, it's we're not in the same stratosphere. The school itself, like the academia and the experience and all that, it's on par. I think that they're both A's in that regard. I think you could go to either school and you come out on both sides being a complete success, home run winner. But you got to find a guy that's interested in that. And obviously, as you can tell, the 4- and 5-star guys, they're really not. They're interested in having a good time and winning and catching touchdowns. That's what they're interested in. And you know who offers that? The South. And that's fine. You know, the Oklahomas of the world, the Bamas, the LSUs, that's fine. There's a reason why those schools exist. But if you want to have the type of team that you, the fan, are looking for, we're going to have to do some investigative research. And you know what that leads to? It leads to a lot of busts. And you can't just hire and fire coaches because they sign busts. What you got to do is you got to reevaluate your own thinking and how you're going after these guys. And there's a lot of 1AA schools or FCS schools that have coaches that have this figured out. And so it's like no mistake to me on why Dino made it to this point. But I think it's a mentality deal. And we saw the mentality against Clemson. And that's why I'm saying, like, that's where this whole thing is coming to a head. Is that, look, the facilities aren't great. They got a lot better since when I was there, they were about a C, C minus. Now they're probably up to about a B. Maybe a C plus, B minus, if you want to be really nitpicky. But, like I said, everything else about the school has the ability to really impress. And there are a lot of athlete-friendly majors. There are a lot of things to kind of skirt the issues, but the same problem still kind of persists. Like, we're going to lose a lot of battles with a lot of teams because Syracuse is out of the way. And but for me, what really sold me was that Syracuse made an attempt back then to at least play against the big dogs in the non-conference. They had USC on the schedule. I got to see him play twice before I moved out there eventually because I saw him on local TV out here. I also saw them win a bowl game. Like, these are things that you need to see, and this is kind of where the floor needs to go. And I really agree with Coach. I think that he has done a much better job in his recruiting classes. He's just been decimated, and I mean decimated, by injuries and all that stuff. And this was honestly, for me, I think last year in particular, when if all those medical DQs didn't happen, because guys, we're forgetting like how many medical DQs there have been on that offensive line. And if you really go into it and you do the research, I think there was a .com article about this too, that's just like listing all the offensive linemen that we've been going through. And it's hard to have a special unit when the unit that means the most isn't there. And we all know that, but the two sides of this lateral thought, which is, if you haven't kind of tell, like I try to bring two sides together and meet in the middle for a point, is that we get mad about Syracuse because we think, well, shouldn't this A school, this A level school, this top tier party school, this a lot of fun, this area that it means so much, and it's the university's committed. You would think that the floor is higher than one win to this point. But as we're finding out, when you play in the Power Five, the floor is zero wins. The floor is losing every game because, you know what? Everybody else wants to win too. The reason I went to Syracuse was because I saw them win for a couple of years. And ultimately that year, that it was my time to go there. And I said, well, you know, I can look at Miami, the U, my dream school, place that it was incredible to receive the call from Coach at the U. And I will go down with that for the rest of my life. And that's the, and you know what, to me, like that means something to me. And to have your dream school come and contact you and say, hey, look, because after I got the offer from Syracuse, I sent an email to them and said, hey, look, I'm going to go to Syracuse, but don't let me go there. So I went on my visit to Syracuse thinking that I was going to pull the rug out from under Coach Schaefer's feet, and I was going to go to Miami the next weekend and commit on my visit, and the rest was history. That's what I was. I was a Hurricane. But we went down there, and I took one look around, and I said, they don't win right now. They have a bad record right now. And the one thing that never happened to me down there was standing in Charlie Loeb's apartment with Sam Rogers, Zach Chabain, Justin Pugh, Alec Lemon, and Jared West, and them all getting up and saying, you are going to be like us one day. And you have to like it here, not for any of the reasons that you saw today, not on your campus visit, not on your facilities visit, not on your, you know, hype train visit with Coach Doust. You got to like us. You got to like yourself, and you got to want to play here. You got to want to do it for the guy next to you. And that to me was something special. That was something that I've never encountered since, and I don't know if I will ever encounter that again, but I hope to give it away. And so recruiting in the game that we're playing here with Syracuse is that I think we have a couple special dudes right now on the roster. And it's up to them, and what we're seeing them do right now is that they're telling the guys on their visits, hey, look, you can be like us. You can make it to the NFL. Look at the draft picks. We're going to keep going up. We're going to keep going up. We're going to keep going up. But you have to make the decision. Are you going to do it for you and us and the S? That's what it's going to be. And you know what? our recruiting class this year is going to be 10 points higher than it has been. And you know what's going to happen when those kids get on campus is that they're going to look back and they're going to say, hey, look, we took a chance and we made it work. And then they're going to move up 10 points with their recruiting class. And that's how it happens because it gains momentum. And we all know that you just got to find the kid that has something special. And that's what it comes down to. And if you're frustrated about that we can't find a special kid, just know that everybody else is trying to do the same thing. It's a competitive fight out there. But I think that Syracuse has enough going for it from inside the program to say, this whole belief without evidence thing, it's coming to a close really quick.
Real quick, before Tyler closes up with his final thoughts, once again, we are going to hear from the good folks over at BetOnline.ag. Get there, do that. You might not be able to get to a game this year, but they're going to help you out. They're going to do everything they can possible to make sure you can get in on everything imaginable this season, from game spreads and totals to team, player, and coach and props. BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any other place online. Head over to BetOnline today. Use the promo code ARMCHAIR to take advantage of all of the great sign-up bonuses. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. One more thing before we hear back from Tyler. And that is Manscaped.com. They are forever changing the grooming game with their new Weed Whacker. You can also get the Lawnmower 3.0. You can get the 2.0 Shears set. And look, all of the other good things they have over there. The clone, the spritzel for the schnitzel, all that stuff at Manscaped.com. This Weed Whacker is the nose and ear hair trimmer, provides proprietary skin-safe technology, which helps prevent nicks, snags, and tugs in those delicate holes being your ears and nose. The premium Manscaped Weed Whacker uses a 9,000 RPM motor-powered 360-degree rotary dual-blade system. Don't know what that is, but it sounds very impressive. Its intelligently contoured design enhances the trimming experience, and it's waterproof, which makes for easy operation and cleaning. The only nose hair trimmer on the market with a powerful and rechargeable lithium-ion battery that lasts up to 90 minutes on a charge. Listen, gentlemen, they are going to give you replacement blades every 3 months, too, to keep the weed whacking enjoyable, all right? And as we all know, 79% of partners polled admitted that long nose hair is a major turnoff. So get that stuff cleaned up. What are the chances your girl is in the 21%? I have some advice for you. Email me if that's the case, okay? Go to manscaped.com, get 20% off and free shipping with the code armchair at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the promo code armchair. All right, here's Tyler to wrap things up.
So a couple things that happened to me this week that I wasn't real stoked about. This is where we get into tie thoughts for the week. This is the show. This is what I get most proud of with this show, is that I get to talk to you guys a little bit about my life, and it helps me feel better about myself, which in turn I hope makes you feel better about you. This week, the Dodgers won the World Series, and to me, the most fun in my life comes seeing the Dodgers lose. And you may think, well, that's crazy because, Tyler, you grew up in Los Angeles County and all that stuff. But look, I'm an Angels fan. And to be an Angels fan growing up in Los Angeles County was to be ostracized all the time. Same thing with being a UCLA fan, because USC was dominant. And I got made fun of a lot. But let me tell you something, guys. It's good to have an adversary. Sometimes your adversary needs to win in order for you to have a good perspective on what you're doing, right? So when your adversary wins, you know what you're up against. Same thing like with this year with the NBA. Wow, I brought it back to the NBA. You didn't think I was going to do that? I sure did. So when the Warriors are cooking and they're good, and like Steph Curry's going off and they're winning championships, it just, there's a Goliath to tackle. And when the Dodgers are losing so many years in a row, it's like, there's this Goliath that is, that's like, they spent $1 billion on this World Series. Over all the years that they've been really pumping into that team and doing the analytics department and having Dave Roberts be the puppet to the GM's marionette. And it's like, they're doing all this stuff that's unconventional, and they still lose, and they still lose, and they still lose. It's like, I need my adversary to win so I can see them lose again. I know that's a weird spin zone, and I'm spinning this in a way that's favorable to me because I'm not having a good time with this. Okay, I'm just not. You can say that they deserve one. Clayton Kershaw, good for him. I don't care about any of that. I hope that they lose the next 100 World Series because it sucks to be able to watch them win. But you do need an opponent in your life because if you don't have one, your life is stale and you know it. All right, so that's that. Secondarily, my high school football coach passed away on Tuesday of this week, and he and I did not get along. You might think, well, you know, he had this this probably star high school player because he played D1 at a Power 5 school, and he did. He had me there, and we differed, and we bickered, and we just did not see eye to eye on everything, and I held it over his head that if he didn't play me where I wanted to play and I didn't get the right amount of snaps that I would transfer, and I even almost went through with transferring one time in high school until my dad said I couldn't do it. And weirdly enough, I'm in coaching now and teaching because of him. And I was never able to bridge the gap with him and really make amends the way I wanted to, because from my perspective now, I see how much he did for me. And he even helped me get my position at HBU because the college coaches at HBU knew my head coach from St. Francis, and they knew him well and they liked him. And I mean, everything that I did was because of Coach Bonds. And I was hoping so much to win and impress him, just to show him like, hey, you meant this much to me and you always will, coach. But, you know, now I'm never going to be able to talk to him again. And I haven't talked to him for so long, and I feel so bad. Because even when I was struggling with my depression coming out of Syracuse, still didn't make it easy on him. And I think he tried to maybe extend a lifeline somewhere in there, but I wasn't ready. And I think for this week, having that adversity is the character building that we all need. But at the same time, I can't let myself anymore like let the difficulties cloud my vision of what a good thing is as well. Like, I can't stare a gift horse in the mouth anymore with whatever that is. And I think for me moving forward, I have to be more aware of my surroundings and just come into contact with my feelings and think like, hey, is this justified or not? Because if I'm blowing my wife off, if I'm blowing my family off or something, and it's like, who knows? Because I may never be able to talk to this person again. And I don't want to make this a downer at the end of the show. I can start cracking jokes again, you know, don't get me wrong, but I don't want to be in a position anymore where I have to say I can't do that anymore. I'll never be able to do that again, because that's just not fun. And if there's someone that you're looking to help that you can't help anymore, maybe it's time that we start looking at community service. Maybe it's time we start looking at donations or something. Because to me, when I get fired up in the morning is when I think about, I'm going to go help somebody out today on that football field or in the classroom. Like, I'm going to go make somebody's life better. And that's what my coach tried to do for me. And that's what I'm going to keep doing for the rest of time. Is that as long as I'm alive and I'm breathing, you got to aspire to inspire before you expire. That's the only way to do it. All right. And same thing like with Omari Palmer's shirt at Mayfest is you got to, what was it? Young, motivated, educated. Ah, I forgot, but hilarious. I mean, hilarious. I'll have to find it. But, you know, it was just, that was such a tough day. And I was not prepared for something like that and the gravity of it, too. To think that, like, even though I had so much resentment, I couldn't let it go in time of before he passed away in time. And I have let it go. And, but we were just never in the same place at the same time. And for me to be able to properly make my amends. So, if that's something that you need to do this week, now's probably the time. And before we get out of here, I'll read you Omari Palmer's shirt. because we are all like this in our own regard. I still have the picture right now. It's Clay Cleveland standing next to John Miller and Omari Palmer. Omari with the biggest smile I've ever seen, with the shirt that says motivated, educated, and never duplicated. So because we're never duplicated, don't take it for granted. Just love everybody. All right.